Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. Family. I mean,
Disney
podcast.
Travel Disney podcast.
There we go. Okay.
Beautiful. Did you point?
I'm Brandon.
There we go. And I'm Krista. You were distracted by family.
I was distracted by family.
How you doing, Brandon?
I'm not sober.
Okay, this is part of our recording in advance because we're traveling and chaos has ensued.
Chaos! Chaos is a ladder. I have said that many times tonight.
That's true. That's
and
true.
People, I had randos agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
They did not know I was referencing Game of Thrones. We have that going for us, I guess. I don't know.
Nice. So because we're doing that, though, we are not talking news or anything like that. But Brandon, what are you drinking?
Yes.
Okay. What are you drinking right now?
Oh, it is an unopened, an Italian beer.
That's my cup holder.
I grabbed it out of the cupboard, okay. So you're going to have to deal with it. I'm sorry.
I guess so.
It's your Yeti koozie,
mm-hmm.
because it was a thin beer.
Mm-hmm.
From
Have a taste.
Italy.
Have a taste.
It smells like beer.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes like Italian beer.
Ah, makes sense. Nice.
Oh, yes. Very Italian.
Nice.
Oh, my goodness.
What does an Italian beer taste like?
Beer.
No, I'm too far.
Slightly too far. I'm sorry.
I'm going to be deleting that.
I apologize.
I'm going to be deleting that. It's fine.
No.
Yes,
you should keep that.
Nope, stop it.
Okay,
so I'm drinking peach gin. And Brandon, what nerd thing do you have going on right now? You're on a trip.
I'm gone.
Bye.
Wait, no. I have gone... Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right. So we are... This is... The Oscars have just happened.
Oh.
When this comes out.
Congratulations,
winners.
Yeah. Oppenheimer.
You
are the greatest theoretical physicist of all time. And now you are the Oscar winner.
Almost certainly.
I am betting my reputation on it. Apparently, I did that a year ago. On certain things.
You did.
And I'm doing it again.
Okay.
I'm betting my reputation.
Well, this is now going to be the third time we've done this. We host our own Disney A Oscars, right around Oscars time.
Hooray for Oscars.
We have our different categories. There are 23 categories in this year's Oscars, so we have 23 different Disney-themed categories. And I ask you, and you tell me the winner.
I am good at telling
yes.
you the winner.
Okay. So before we get to that, though, I have here the Disney Company nominations.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So
very few this year.
No, there's not.
Really?
Because they own Poor Things.
Oh! Okay. We have not watched Poor Things yet.
Probably tonight after we're done recording this.
But I'm very excited to see Poor Things because Emma Stone just given her...
Totally.
Yes. Okay.
So
I'm very
Poor
excited.
Things
very excited.
By Searchlight Pictures, which Disney owns, has
Searchlight has done very good work
that's
in the past.
That's true. Okay.
Little Miss Sunshine.
So good.
Mm.
So there are 11 nominations total. This is in order. Like, I'm going to go through all the Disney Company nominations in order of most.
Mm-hmm.
So 11, including Best Picture, Best Director, Actress, Supporting Actor, Adapted Screenplay, Cinematography, Editing, Production Design, Costume Design, Makeup and Hairstyling, and Original Score. I listened to the original score today. I just, during my film studies class, I just played... like pieces of the score from each of the nominated films, and it was my students were like, this is great and also really uncomfortable, and I'm like, that's probably for Poor Things, and I looked at it, I was like, oh
yeah,
yes,
it's
is.
Poor
yeah,
Things
yeah,
yeah.
It is. Okay.
I think the only thing it has a chance is like costume and
makeup maybe. Yeah.
But Maestro's probably gonna win makeup, and
I don't think it will. I think
Maestro's
no,
gonna win makeup.
I think the nose was too scandalous.
Yes, but also it's probably gonna win for
too
that so Okay, well, I mean, that's gonna win me the Oscar pool. So
okay,
there you
well,
go.
See, right,
there you go. Okay.
The Creator, which is Disney owns 20th Century Studios, has two nominations for visual effects and sound. Also, Bobby Wine, the People's President, is National Geographic Documentary Films that has one nomination, which is documentary feature. Elemental is nominated, which is done by Pixar. That is a nomination for an animated feature. It is not going to win. Put my reputation on it.
So animated feature is between Spider-Verse
and Boy and the Heron.
And the Boy and the Heron, which is your typical.
Flamin' Hot, which is done by Searchlight Pictures, has one nomination for original song, The Fire Inside. Do you know what Flamin' Hot is about?
Cheetos.
Yes.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Okay, I was just joking. What?
I know. What? I looked it up today because I was like, what? No, seriously.
It's about Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
Kinda. It's about like the making of it, but it's like the guy who was inspired by his cultural heritage to make... Yeah, seriously. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which is done by Marvel Studios. No.
Cheetos.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which is done by Marvel Studios, has one nomination for visual effects. The Last Repair Shop by Searchlight Pictures has one nomination for Best Documentary Short Film. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny has one nomination for Best Original Score. Of course it does, because...
John Williams!
I'm sorry.
Very nice. Thank you.
I'm sorry if I pronounce this incorrectly, but I think it's either Nene or Nai Nai, and Waipo, which is done by Disney Plus, has a nomination for Best Documentary Short Film.
I mean, all you need to say is John Williams.
You just like fell apart.
I fell apart.
You fell apart. I should have ended with that one.
Yeah. What's in the bag?
It's not a head, it's just content.
Oh.
Ah. Disney A grab bag. Okay, are you ready to be judgmental?
I'm so ready.
Okay.
I was born for this. It was like I was made for this.
Or you were inevitable?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah, here we go.
There you go.
Welcome to the 3rd annual Disney A Oscars. Are you in your Oscar best?
I'll just adjust my tuxedo.
All right, so the red carpet has been walked and we are seated, so we are ready to begin with our first category. Ready?
Please don't slap me.
No, that's in the middle of the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Best, so we're starting strong with the best MCU final line by a villain to date.
By a villain?
Yes. So this is the 3rd time we've done this, and I just listened to our second run to make sure we weren't doubling up on any categories, and I'm loving some of the most obscure ones. Are you ready? I got kind of hooked on this, like, line, final line.
Okay.
Okay, so by a villain, to date. Now, this doesn't mean, like... Some of them may have died. Some of them just, we don't see them anymore.
Is there nominations or do I have to come
no,
up?
No, I'm coming. Okay. So there are 5 nominations in each category. So far you have Doc Ock, I Will Not Die a Monster. Thanos, I Am Inevitable.
Yeah.
Of course. Killmonger, Because They Knew Death Was Better Than Bondage. High Evolutionary, All I Wanted to Do Was Make Things Perfect. And Vulture, Adrian Toomes, and this one... He isn't dying, he is in prison, but he has just been asked who Spider-Man was, and he knows. But instead of saying, he says, if I knew who he was, he'd already be dead.
Ah.
So it's like him redeeming himself, not refusing to give up Peter Parker's identity. So I figured that one required some explanation for context, why I made the list.
Those are some good villains.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotta be Doc Ock.
Mm.
Yeah. He is the best Marvel villain. Thanos is obviously very strong.
So I'll tell you, I went through lists of like all MCU characters' famous lines, and Thanos and Killmonger made every list.
Yeah, Killmonger makes the list for different reasons, and Thanos is he's just Thanos. Okay. But I'm a millennial.
Yeah.
And the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies are very important to me. Yeah. And
Doc Ock is my favorite villain.
Doc Ock and those movies, they just have really good writing.
Mm-hmm. It's true. But isn't that a great one? I Will Not Die a Monster. Okay.
Yeah.
In that same vein, we're hanging out with the MCU. How about we have the best MCU final line by a protagonist or goodie to date?
I am Iron Man.
And the nominees are I Am Iron Man by Iron Man Tony Stark.
Sorry, I did the just that's it.
Do you want me to finish, please?
Yeah, you can finish, but
I'm damn lucky you're my boy. Yondu to Peter Quill before he dies.
Hats off to Yondu, but death, sorry.
Death is what gives life meaning, the Ancient One in Doctor Strange. I bet we were fun. Gamora in Guardians 3, saying goodbye to Peter. Ho Yinsen in the first Iron Man movie, his dying words, which make him become Tony, don't waste your life. To Tony Stark, who then becomes Iron Man. As he's sacrificing himself to get Tony Stark out of there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Are you still going to go?
No.
And the winner is...
Iron Man... I Am Iron Man is so quintessential to the MCU and everything, but that last one...
Ooh. Woo! So the winner is...
It's Iron Man.
Interesting. So we did have that being the final line that Tony Stark says during the first movie, but it is also the first words said by Nick Fury in the entire MCU. I am Iron Man. This was in the trivia from last time.
It's
in a post-credit scene.
It's just so quintessential to the MCU. Like...
And that's tough. So that is the last time we see him speak, although he does have the video, in which case his last line's also a winner. I love you 3,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even want to talk about
it. Let's keep going with the MCU. Best MCU post-credit scene, speaking of. And the nominees are Peter Parker outed as Spider-Man in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay.
Nick Fury introducing himself in Iron Man. Meeting Thanos in The Avengers. Nick Fury using his beeper and is dusted in Avengers Infinity War. And the gang goes out for shawarma after The Avengers. I know we had two Avengers, but they were both so good.
That is very difficult.
And the winner is...
And there might not even be the best MCU...
Nope.
It might not even
be.
But.
I went, yeah.
The original has to be the winner.
Really?
Nick Fury introducing himself to Iron Man.
I was, okay, all right.
No, it has to be.
Okay.
He started the post-credit scene.
Okay.
Everything. It has to be that. Sorry. Has to be.
Okay, so our next categories, we are leaving the MCU for now.
Okay.
We're going to head...
Thank goodness, because that was very difficult.
Into the animated Disney films.
Yeah, okay.
Best death by falling of an animated Disney character.
Mufasa.
There are a lot.
Mufasa.
It's not a nominee.
Ah, Mufasa.
There are a lot. And The nominees are... I literally could have done three categories of this. So many characters died by falling.
People die a lot by falling. And
Gaston in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Scar in The Lion King. Even though he falls into a pack of hyenas and the hyenas are what kills him. But anyway. Judge Frollo in Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mother Gothel in Tangled. As she falls, she turns aged and is dust by the time she hits the ground. She ages so quickly.
Yeah.
And the evil queen in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. When the lightning hits the boulder.
I still say Mufasa, but I'm going to go with Frollo out of the nominees.
Perfect.
So, because he had a good falling death, and Judge
good
Frollo
riddance.
Is a horrific villain. So,
good.
I was cheering the whole way down.
He fell into his hellfire.
Hellfire, exactly, yeah.
Best villain sidekick in an animated Disney movie. And the nominees are Iago in Aladdin, Kronk in Emperor's New Groove, Lucifer in Cinderella, Mr. Smee in Peter Pan, and Sir Hiss from Robin Hood.
This is the strongest category from so far, because all of those are amazing.
So, I'm not gonna lie, I wrote these out on, it is currently March, which means it's Disney bounding month, and it was definitely villain sidekick Disney bound prompt when I came up with these, and these were all the most popular bounds.
They are all amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't take away anything. They are the, like, the best villain henchmans. Mm-hmm. But the first one that came to mind was Iago, so I have to go with him.
That's who I bounded as.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. No, that was...
Yeah.
Kronk has had a very strong resurgence mm-hmm. with...
Millennials and Gen Z,
like, love Kronk. He's really cool. He's got Agreed. A cool... Patrick Warburton,
of course,
has a very wonderful voice. But Iago is the first thing that came to mind, so he wins.
All right.
Polly wins Cracker.
Oh. We're gonna kick over to the music category.
Oh, no. I'm not musical, so... But I can judge music, so
Best
there you go.
Best song in Hamilton.
Oh, my God! Guns and Chips.
And the nominees are... Satisfied.
Yeah, that's good.
Alexander Hamilton.
That is also good.
My Shot.
Yeah, that...
The Ten Dual Commandments. And Guns and Chips.
Guns and Chips! Guns and Chips! I called it. I called my shot. I'm not gonna... I'm not gonna throw away my shot.
It's Guns and... the winner is Guns and Chips.
It's Guns and Chips.
I disagree, but I will give it to you. Okay. Okay. Speaking of songs.
Man, I love... Do you want to watch Hamilton? No,
I really want to watch Hamilton, but we have so many Oscar movies.
We have so many Oscar movies to watch.
I know.
Otherwise, I would watch Hamilton right now.
Like right now, yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. The best character introduction in an animated film that is not done through song.
Hmm.
Ready?
Okay. This is very specific. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So there was a related category coming next. Okay. The Genie. First meeting the Genie in Aladdin.
That was done through song?
No, we first meet him before song. This is not done through song. It's meeting a character not through song. The arrival of the genie is he rubs the lamp and he has the big, like, reveal. Okay.
You've never had a friend like me. Okay.
That's after that.
That's
after that. No, no. I'm talking. You rub the lamp and the genie appears. Like, just that moment. Okay?
Okay. That's very specific.
Yes, it is. The second nomination goes to Buzz Lightyear, the camera panning up in Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
Maleficent showing up uninvited to the party in Sleeping Beauty. Doug, who has just met you and he loves you, in Up. And Tigger, who introduces himself by bouncing Winnie the Pooh in The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Before we find out he's a wonderful thing whose top's made of rubber.
Okay. I'm gonna clarify this because several of these introductions that you've said are not song.
None of these are song. They're not supposed to be song.
They are followed by a song.
Yeah, that's followed, but I'm saying just before the
so,
song.
So
before the song.
Before the song, yeah, whatever. Anyway, the song is what makes the introduction for a couple of these at
True.
Least. So I'm going to say Buzz Lightyear.
Okay, yeah, because you have the camera pan.
The camera pan and the swell of music.
Okay.
It evokes a lot of sci-fi and it just works.
Okay.
It just works with the whole lore of the Toy Story universe
totally.
And stuff. So yes, it's Buzz Lightyear.
Okay, well, we're gonna stick in the songs
mm-hmm.
because the next is the best character introduction song. So this may or may not be the first time you meet them, but it's like learning about them.
Okay.
Okay. And the nominees are Belle in Beauty and the Beast, Friend Like Me, Genie in Aladdin,
mm-hmm.
A Dream Is a Wish Your Heart Makes from Cinderella,
Ooh.
You're Welcome, Maui in Moana.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
And the Bear Necessities meeting Baloo in Jungle Book.
Gosh darn, that is...
were so many. You'd be shocked. You wouldn't be shocked if you actually thought about it. How many characters have songs about themselves?
They're all musicals. Oh. They should have songs about themselves. I'm not shocked at all. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. I have a whole little fun list of categories here.
This is really hard,
yeah.
But I have to go with A Friend Like Me.
Okay.
R.I.P. Robin Williams.
That's fair.
Very strong.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, let's keep with the introduction songs, because next we have the best villain introduction song.
Mm.
And the nominees are Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians.
Dang.
The Elegant Captain Hook from Peter Pan.
Meh.
Poor Unfortunate Souls from Little Mermaid. Trust in Me from The Jungle Book. Caw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Shiny from Moana.
Ah! Dang it! Okay.
I know you really like
Shiny. I'm gonna preface this by saying Shiny might be my favorite villain song, but he's not as important to the plot of Moana. Poor Unfortunate Souls is the correct answer here.
That is the correct answer.
It is. Mm-hmm. It super
totally
is.
Agree.
But I really love Shiny.
You're like, but I really want to pick Shiny. All right. The best opening song in a Disney animated movie.
Mm.
And the nominees are The Circle of Life from Lion King.
You don't have to go any further. No, it's Circle of Life.
Can I keep going anyway?
You can keep going, but it's The Circle of Life.
When You Wish Upon a Star from Pinocchio.
It's still Circle of Life.
Oh, that's so good. That's The Gospel Truth from Hercules.
I mean, that's fine, but it's still Circle of Life.
Are you sure it's not Arabian Nights from Aladdin?
Also fine. It's still Circle of Life.
And then again, This Is Halloween from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Also, really cool. It's still Circle of Life. Not sorry. Okay. It's Circle of Life.
All right, here we go. I'm not mad at that.
No, it just is. I'm sorry.
Okay. Best Disney or Pixar movie to win an Oscar for original score. So all of these five movies won an Oscar for original score.
Beauty and the Beast.
It's not on the list.
Really? It's the only one to be nominated for Best Picture.
I know. Okay.
And that was back when they only had five.
Yes, because it's still the only Disney animated one, because the other animated movie that was nominated was after they switched to 10, and that was Toy Story 3. Okay, anyway.
Toy Story 3 is also really good, but it was when it was 10. It doesn't count.
Yes, okay. Best Disney or Pixar movie to win an Oscar for original score. And the nominees are...
Okay.
Up. Lion King. Mary Poppins. Dumbo, and Pinocchio. Just think of all those non-words said in the first 50 minutes of Up.
I think Up is the most underrated Pixar movie, and I love Up.
I feel like there's a butt coming.
But it ain't Lion King. It's Lion King. That's the answer. All day long.
Mm-mm. I think Up wins this one.
No. Sorry.
All
right. I love Up. I think Up and WALL-E are my favorite Pixar movies.
I totally agree. And you have to have Toy Story.
And I have a super soft spot for the first three Toy Story movies. The only three Toy Story movies.
Yeah, that's weird how you said first.
That was a misspeak on my part.
You know, you're thinking of the new Toy Story movie coming out later.
Yeah, there's another one coming out.
Yeah, it's not released yet. You don't.
I'm super excited to catch up with my friends Woody and Buzz, and they haven't done anything.
For a while.
They were Andy handed him off to his
Bonnie.
Yeah, Bonnie, and they had some shorts, and that was
after the trilogy.
Nothing ever happened after the trilogy.
Sure didn't.
Yeah. No.
So the reason I would say Up over Lion King is when I think score, I think a lot of like instrumental stuff in the background. What sticks? I mean, I understand that the other parts are like the songs and the lyrics and stuff are important too, but Up does a lot of heavy lifting in that first 15 minutes with no talking, just music.
It does, but there is also a lot of score in Lion King.
Oh, 100%. Okay. Best Disney animated film that did not win an Oscar for animated feature.
Okay.
So none of these won the Oscar for animated feature.
Unfortunate for them.
And the nominees are Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
Cinderella.
Okay.
Bambi.
Mm-hmm.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Well, was there an animated feature?
No, there was when, not. But technically, it did not win.
Okay, so that, I mean.
No, it didn't win. It did not win.
I was like, that's not really fair for Snow White because there was no.
Still didn't win.
There was
one.
No such thing.
The category is.
I don't care. It's Wreck-It Ralph.
Really?
Yes.
Over Toy Story?
Snow White and Toy Story have the same problem.
Oh.
Because they were ahead of their time.
Okay.
They have their own kudos because they were ahead of their time.
Okay.
Wreck-It Ralph is just severely underrated.
Wreck-It Ralph is great. Should watch Wreck-It Ralph again.
Mm.
Okay, we're going to jump over to Star Wars in a moment. For a moment here.
Dun, 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 dun. No, wait. That's Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones. Okay.
We already did that one. Best Disney Plus Star Wars live action moment. Ready?
Ooh.
Ahsoka and Anakin reunited. Ahsoka Season 1, Episode 5.
Yes.
Fight the Empire. Andor Season 1, Episode 12. The beginning of the rebellion, basically. Just saying.
Fight the Empire.
Well, that's during the funeral when they like.
Okay.
Okay. Luke trains Grogu. Book of Boba Fett Season 1, Episode 6. And just so you know, I picked one from each show. Like, there are some I could have gone by.
Okay.
Obi-Wan faces Vader. Obi-Wan, Season 1, Episode 6. And we first meet Grogu, Mandalorian, Season 1, Episode 1.
These are all excellent, but you picked the wrong end or moment. Mm-hmm. And this is what
one
I...
Way I I'm, out. One.
Well...
Andor's just really good.
Andor's really good.
Andor's really good.
No. So what I would pick for Andor is... We all burn ourselves for a sunrise.
Oh,
we'll
yeah, yeah,
see.
Yeah, yeah. So good, so good.
So good. Good.
So good. Acting, my God. Okay, but anyway.
But for a Star Wars moment, it's Ahsoka meeting.
Ooh, okay. I wasn't sure if you were going to do that or Obi-Wan facing Vader.
No, no.
Okay, Ahsoka and Anakin reunited. That was so good. Mm-hmm. So good. Okay. Best live-action Star Wars moments from films not in the Skywalker saga.
Okay.
Trilogies. Well, the trilogies.
I know what the right answer is. Hopefully it's nominated.
And the nominees are... I Am One with the Force and the Force is with Me. Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
I Hate You. I Know. Solo. Lando.
Mm-hmm.
The Destruction of Scarif in Rogue One. Han and Lando playing Sabacc.
Yeah.
Not Sarlacc. That's a totally different thing.
Sarlacc
in
is a
Solo. Yeah. And Vader's hallway scene in Rogue One. Was it on?
There's three Rogue Ones in there, which is
three Rogue Ones and two Solos.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. No. The right answer is the Destruction of Scarif. But when Jyn and Andor. Hugging each other during the destruction
I'm
of Scarif.
Mess, my God. Okay, so you went even more specific.
Yes,
I did. Thought you might go the hallway scene, Vader's hallway scene.
That is true.
So like, that final destruction was what I meant there when you see them like in the background.
Yes, the Vader hallway scene. Who is Vader?
I know who Vader is.
He's Anakin Skywalker, and you said it's not Skywalker saga. That
oh, I see what you're saying.
That's Skywalker. I'm
okay,
sorry.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's just not technically part of the saga.
Like, no, it's yeah. Yes, but
okay. All right, we're going to jump back over to Disney, Disney proper.
Okay.
But this is in general. Okay, so this is a general Disney thing.
General Disney.
General Disney?
General Disney.
The worst lesson someone may learn watching an animated Disney movie. And the nominees are... Great things happen to kids when they become orphans. If you are pure of heart, you can easily approach wild animals.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
If you see a woman sleeping, definitely go right up to her and just start kissing.
That is a terrible lesson. Do not do that. Consent is important, children.
You can tell if someone is villainous just by the style of their facial hair.
I mean, yeah.
And bad people are ugly, good people, beautiful.
Mm.
And the winner is...
The kissing thing is a terrible lesson. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Orphan. Good yeah, things happen to orphans. I mean, that's just the through line for all Disney films. And that's a terrible lesson. Like,
yeah, right.
Like the life of an orphan is not good. Never.
All right. The next category is the most admirable villain in an animated Disney movie.
Hades.
And the nominees are Ursula.
She did nothing wrong.
We literally have an episode called Ursula Did Nothing Wrong.
She signed a contract and it was fine.
Sang a whole song about it. Maleficent.
Yeah, she got snubbed at a social event.
And that would have been a huge snub at the time, just saying.
Yeah.
Captain Hook.
He lost his hand and they made fun of him the whole movie. It's horrible. Exactly. They named him after his lost hand.
Exactly.
I feel bad for him.
Lady Tremaine. All she wants is good things for her daughters.
Yeah, but she also married into a rich family and treated the actual heir terribly, so she's kind of a B.I. I'm not going to say the real word.
But... And Jafar.
Jafar was the little finger of our generation.
Mm-hmm. And the winner is...
It's Ursula. She did nothing wrong.
We literally have an episode called Ursula Did Nothing Wrong.
She did nothing wrong. She had a very clear and spelled out contract, and Ariel signed on the dotted line. So
I guess the only thing she did wrong was 16-year-olds probably shouldn't enter into legally binding contracts, but it was very clearly
It's under the sea. You don't know what the legal age is under the sea. True. So
also, can I just say the fact that at any point in time, Ursula can look however she wants, and she chooses to be that... Fabulous.
She is fabulous with a capital F.
That's true.
Yeah.
Best Disney film adapted from a book. We're going classic literature
Jungle
here.
Book.
Peter Pan, originally by J.M. Barrie. Mary Poppins, originally by P.L. Travers.
Okay.
Oliver and Company, based on Oliver Twist, originally by Charles Dickens.
True.
The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
Originally by A.A. Milne.
Okay.
And Lion King, inspired by Hamlet by Shakespeare.
Hamlet. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, anyway. I know, I threw a wrench in your plan there, didn't I?
You did. It's Winnie the Pooh for me.
I think that's the correct answer. And you know how much I love my Shakespeare.
Lion King does a very good job of adapting Hamlet to be, like, a completely new story, which is not usual for, like, adaptions of this
part.
But Winnie the Pooh does the best by its original work.
I'm all right with that. Best underappreciated... We have an underappreciated category, a couple categories here. Best underappreciated...
The Great Mouse Detective.
Animal sidekick in a Disney animated movie.
The Great Mouse Detective Watson.
Figaro in Pinocchio.
Figaro is
Pua in Moana.
Oh.
Raja in Aladdin. Archimedes the Owl from Sword in the Stone.
Yeah.
And Nana in Peter Pan, the dog.
Yeah, no, yeah, okay.
Who's basically a nanny and the caregiver.
Okay. Underappreciated is what we're going with. It is Pua. Because Pua gets absolutely effed over and has like 10 minutes of screen time and might be the cutest sidekick of all time.
Yeah. If Pua's more of a part of it, you could just take my money for merch, honestly. Yeah. Like, just be like, whatever, just like, if you put Pua on and I'm happy, so I don't care. Agreed.
And it makes me like Moana less because they screwed over Pua.
I'm not mad at that.
Mm.
Okay. You're going to have to forgive me. You might have to help me with some of these.
I don't know if I'm going to forgive you. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Best odd character name in a Star Wars movie.
Oh, okay. That...
You're going straight up by names.
No.
Dudbolt in Podracer Pilot in The Phantom Menace.
Odd character names are like a standby in Star Wars.
Agreed,
I'm sorry.
You're picking one of these.
No.
Files. So you have Dudbolt.
Okay,
the pod racer pilot in Phantom Menace. Elan Sleazebagano from Attack of the Clones, who's in the bar going, and when Obi-Wan's like, "I don't want to sell you Death Sticks."
I want to sell you Death Sticks, actually.
Gavirky Lenswin from Solo, A Star Wars Story. Salacious B. Crumb, Return of the Jedi. And Powdok Draba Takat Sapdi Rekti Nick Lenki T. Kvefne Nick Ni Savefren Lekek, who's also known as Pow from Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, who also holds the credit for having the longest name.
Okay.
Tell me to look at these.
No. I mean, respect to Gooby Booby Dooga 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 Kenefki Kenefki or whatever. It's Salacious P. Crumb.
That's
the OG. He's a Muppet.
Yeah, he is.
Also.
Yeah, he is.
And it's just a funny name.
I love it. Yeah.
Star Wars is known for its weird
names. Gonna do a whole thing with the friggin' Dans and stuff like that, but like I couldn't figure out how to make that work, so
yeah. Salacious B. Crumb. Okay. I love Salacious B. Crumb. That's the only one I know of all those names. And
I distinctly remembered Sleaze Bagano. I don't want to sell you death sticks. And then he was like, you want to go home and rethink your life. I want to go home and rethink my life.
Yeah, okay.
The Jedi mind tricked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Death sticks are just cigarettes.
Yes.
So there you go.
Best forgotten Disney animated movie. And the nominees are Chicken Little.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
Treasure Planet.
Yeah.
Strange Planet.
Hmm.
Onward.
I think it's Treasure Planet out of those.
So good.
Treasure Planet
you mean
is
Steampunk Treasure Island, yeah?
Yeah, Steampunk Treasure Island. It like
yeah, fair enough.
It's just good. Black Cauldron is a little underrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great.
I really like Strange Planet and Onward as well.
Yes, Onward was really good, and it got killed by COVID.
I know.
We won't talk about that.
But it was so. It's such a shame because it was really good. Best teacher in an animated film or special. This one is I'm a fan of.
Okay.
And I specifically picked I would
imagine you're a fan of this. Yeah.
I specifically picked ones I knew you would know.
Wait, Magic School Bus is not a Disney property, right?
No, it's not.
Okay.
I specifically picked ones I knew you would know because I know there are some other teachers that I wasn't sure if you knew or not. So, the nominees are Ichabod Crane from Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
He is a teacher.
He is.
Oh. Okay.
Merlin from Sword in the Stone.
He's a terrible teacher.
He's a teacher, but he's a terrible one.
He's a terrible teacher.
Philotides, Phil from Hercules.
Phil.
Mr. Ray from Finding Nemo.
Uh-huh.
And we're drawing it
in. Yeah, no.
Goofy from Teachers Are People.
Goofy's adorable. The answer is Ichabod.
Of course it is.
I mean, come on. I forgot he was a teacher, but he is.
Ludwig von Drake, like Donald's other uncle,
yes,
is a teacher. I wasn't sure if you knew that or not.
I didn't.
Yeah,
but
he's a professor.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure if you knew Professor Owl from the Sing Along Songs movies.
I don't know.
Okay, so I almost picked him too. But both of those did.
Ludwig, I remember. Yes. Okay.
I was like, oh, no, that's okay.
It's Ichabod. It's Ichabod, anyway. That's fair.
Best, now we have two Disneyland to round out our evening.
Okay.
We have two categories left, both Disneyland focused.
Disneyland.
Best ambiance music in Disneyland.
Hmm.
The Esplanade Loop, specifically in the morning. In the morning, it's more upbeat. In the evening, it's like more subdued.
Mm-hmm.
Main Street USA Loop. Tomorrowland, Fantasyland, and Galaxy's Edge.
I would say probably the Esplanade Loop in the morning.
I almost didn't even include that because I didn't think there was a chance you'd pick that.
Yeah.
But it is, like, you're going, and it is it energizes you as you're ready to rope drop, and you're half asleep still, and, like, yeah, good.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer. I don't remember, feel like I remember much of the other ones. So
Main Street USA, the thing I like about Main Street USA Loop is a lot of it is actually from Hello, Dolly. Which is also
the Esplanade. The Esplanade plays a lot of the Hello Dolly.
The Tomorrowland is kind of like sci-fi versions of things like Strange Things from Toy Story and a little bit of Star Wars in there.
I feel like the Tomorrowland loop, and I'm going to get hate mail for this, but it's overrated.
That's one of everyone's favorite
movies. I know it is. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's overrated. Mm-hmm.
Fantasyland.
Send me your hate mail. That's all right. I can take it. Right. But I think it's overrated.
Fantasyland is like carousel kind of versions of
I prefer the Fantasyland loop.
I thought
loop
for sure you were going to pick Galaxy's Edge. It's mostly sound effects to me.
I mean, the soundtrack in Galaxy's Edge is amazing.
But it's mostly sound effects, not music.
But it's Star Wars. It's not necessarily Disneyland. So that's what I'm picking there.
I have no problem with awarding this award to the Esplanade loop. Yeah. The best Disneyland event upcoming in 2024.
Me going there.
And the nominees are...
Me going there?
Yep. The opening of Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Ho ho.
Season of the Force, the Star Wars themed festival celebration.
That I'm going to that, so that has a strong chance.
Pixar Fest, Halloween Time, and the return of Fantasmic.
Okay.
Okay. I love when you're like, okay.
So, the return of Fantasmic is going to be a big event. Halloween Time is always a big event.
I know that, too.
Me going to Star Wars month is a big event, personally. But the real answer is Tiana's returning.
I agree.
It's a ride that's open. It's a brand new ride. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You have a brand new ride. There is no other answer.
Super fun. I'm good with all of these.
I am very good at judging things, okay?
I know. I specifically was like, I want to do this so you can judge things.
I am good at judging things. I love it.
Do you like my categories this year?
They were all right.
Aw, just all right?
Just all right.
I like being like...
I'm judging your categories right now. Yeah. They were just all right. They would not win an Oscar in my... I would not vote for them for an Oscar.
But
I'm sorry.
It's an honor to be nominated.
Yeah. You might be nominated. I don't know.
You know, next year, do you want to come up with the categories?
Not really, no.
Because you want to be judgmental?
I am very judgmental.
Okay, yeah. Anything to add on any of these? Congratulations, winners. Try... Again, next year we're losers.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's our show this week. Thank you, El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. That's also where you can find links to our social media accounts and to our email. You can find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms and on our YouTube channel, Adventures A. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't yet, please do. Just like whatever you're listening to right now, just like hit the stars or write
stars.
A review.
Extra stars.
Extra ones. If you know someone who might like listening to us, please.
Because I'm kind of funny.
Star. That's true. You're kinda. Like the funny one, and I'm like trying to keep it on the rails as the person who edits later.
I'm Abbott near Costello.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Wait, like the Arrival aliens?
No.
Oh, like the actual Abbott and Costello?
Yeah. Good reference.
Thank you.
Oh, I forgot that.
Thank
you. I forgot okay.
And let's tie it in because it's Hawkeye who's in that.
It is Hawkeye that's in that.
Just saying.
Okay. It's also Lois Lane that's in that. That's a different
too.
Universe.
That is true.
Okay.
That's like, oh my goodness. So, next episode, we are doing a deep dive. Did you know that?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
You requested the next deep dive we're going to do, and we're going to do it next episode.
I did a good request.
The teacups.
Teacups!
So I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now.
Spin!
Thanks for listening to Disney A. And guns and ships.
Guns and ships! Guns and ships! I called it. I called my shot. I'm not gonna throw away my shot.